I just really appreciate what what we've heard this morning, thus far through the service. As I stand before a group of believers, you know, what do I have to say? You know, I really don't have anything that you haven't heard. You know, most of you have grown up reading the Bible. Most of you have going to summer Bible school, memorizing scripture during your school years and in Sunday school. It's things that we tend to take for granted. You know, we have it up here, but do we have it here? You know, it's such a wonderful blessing we have. I was reading the story about William Tyndale to my children the other night, and he was willing to, he gave his life trying to translate the Bible into English. He felt that everybody should be able to read it. And he knew it was against the law what he was doing, but he did it anyway. And he didn't quite get it done, but his work went on. His prayers were answered. And I was talking to one of our conservative neighbors the other day, and I asked him if they memorized scripture in school, and they have their own school, their own private school, and he said no. Now, this man is married and has several children, and he don't even know what John 3:16 says. You know, do we grasp what a blessing we have and what has been given to us? Or do we, like we just heard, say, you know, I haven't even, you know, let bitterness maybe or other things get in the way and we don't appreciate. Instead, we resent what someone else gets. How responsible does that make us? Ignorance isn't bliss. Not knowing doesn't make us not responsible. If we have the opportunity to know, I believe we will be responsible for what we could have known. I've titled the message this morning, Jesus, Lord of My Life. You know, is Jesus Lord of your life? Is He Lord of my life? Do we understand what that means? You know, what does He mean to you? Is it knowing how to act? You know, we have a level of conduct that we know is expected of us. So we do that. And we can kind of, maybe that's where we find our identity, that at least we do that when others are watching. You know, we do it better than Bill or Susie. You know, what does Lord of my life entail? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. He gave His only Son so that we can live eternally. I think this verse is telling us that we have a choice. We do not need to perish. We do not need to take the punishment that we deserve. The price has been paid. I'm going to be quoting a lot of verses today, and I might not give you time to get to them, but I'd encourage you to take the references down and study these verses. Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. He quickened. Who's He? Jesus. Nailing it to His cross. It's because of Jesus that we can have this. We can have victory. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. His blood cleanses us from all sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely, justified, to render innocent, just as if it hadn't been, just as if it hadn't happened, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed to the forbearance of God. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. He paid the price. He took our place. And David cries out in Psalm 51, he says, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. The song says, Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every care. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, let nothing unholy remain. Apply thine own blood and extract every stain. To get this blessed cleansing, I all things forego. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from thy throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing, I see the blood flow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, thou seest, I patiently wait. Come now, and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never saidst no. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. The blessing by faith I receive from above. O glory, my soul is made perfect in love. My prayer has prevailed, and this moment I know. The blood is applied, I am whiter than snow. If you want to turn to that song, I'm not sure all the verses are there, but in the Christian hymnal 407, I'm going to have you lead that, Matthew, here in a little bit. Now, Christ can take a life that is stained and marred by sin and make it white as snow. You know, that's nothing short of a miracle. It's something that we can't, there's no way that we could do it of ourselves. If you want to, maybe y'all want to, those of you that want to, and stand and we sing that song, 407 in the Christian hymnal. Go ahead.
Break down every
This morning I'd like for us to think of life. Life is a journey we are, and as if we've come to the cross, we've got the narrow way, and we've got this celestial city that we're focusing on, that the believer is going to focus on. You know, there's things that we, as, oh, I'm sorry, I need to turn this around. Can y'all see that? How about over here? See it up here somewhat? I'm sorry. Can't put it anywhere that everybody can see it. There's things in life that, in the Christian life, that one, the devil's there, that the Bible talks about strongholds, about things that come in the way and want to pull us down. You know, that I believe sometime in life we all struggle with identity. We may react to past circumstances, but you know, who am I? What am I here for? Where am I going? These are all things that we deal with. We have the mind, the thoughts. We have the will, which would involve the choices we make. We have the emotions, the feelings. You know, we might find our identity in job. You know, what we do. We might find our identity in, as young people, maybe in a vehicle. We might find our identity in our farm, but you know where we need to find our identity is in Christ. If we don't find our identity in Christ, all these other things have their place. There's nothing wrong with them, but in the right place. But our identity must be in Christ. You know, if not, if we don't find our identity in Christ, everything's going to be empty. And we can't find that till we come down here to the foot of the cross, till we bring everything to Him. And we're willing to lay everything at His feet. Just like the song said, break down every idol, cast out every care. Let nothing unholy remain. Apply thine own blood and extract every stain. You know, God is more concerned about you and your responses than what happened to you. And that's why He sent Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Praising the Lord. Gratitude for His wonderful blessings. You know, the ultimate being redemption, justification, sanctification, the hope that we can have in Him, the hope of eternal life, the ultimate rest. You know, I believe we can have joy, we can have peace in this life, but we're going to face, we're going to be facing difficulties, there's life is always going to bring its trials. It's been said that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% my choices and responses. Now, if we take and make a circle and to make take a pie out of there at 10%, it's not very big. The biggest part of that circle is up to me, the choices that I make, the decisions I make. And we're in charge of our attitudes. Do you really believe that? That you're in charge of your attitudes? You can do something about it. Do you live it? You know, I can control my emotions, or I can choose to let my emotions control me. It's your choice. It's my choice. And Brother Joe mentioned truth quite a few times this morning. You know, what is truth? Where is truth? Truth is Christ in you. We're talking in Sunday school this morning about truth. How do we know truth? Why didn't Paul understand what he was doing? What took him so long to realize where he was at and what he was doing there? He knew the Bible. I mean, he knew the Word, the Old Testament. He was well versed in it. What wasn't he doing there? You know, truth will never contradict his word. Truth, Christ in you. You know, that can control us, or we can choose to let our feelings control our lives. As you choose to live by facts, allowing truth to be your ruler, Lord of your life, you can say with the Apostle Paul, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him, Jesus Christ, that loved us. Nothing, death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:37. And we can choose to make all our choices based on truth. Christ in you, instead of feelings or emotions. You know, only truth can keep down or can tear down strongholds. It takes diligence. It takes humility. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I didn't write that reference down. 1 Peter 5, the last part of the chapter. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Brokenness, humility. Is there pride in my life? Some of the things that keep us, that bind us, strongholds. We've got the little prison down here that the enemy wants to chain us to. We've got negative thoughts. Selfishness. Bitterness. Pride. There's a lot more that we could add to that. Willful disobedience. Ungratefulness. You know, is there pride in my life? You know, I think if we're honest, we're all going to say yes. Don't I have right to a little bit? Or, you know, Lord, it matters what others think. I know how to act. You know, when I'm in public, my conduct, my manners are all above board. I can dress right when I come to church. We know what is expected. But what about home? What about when I'm with those that I love the most? My spouse, my siblings, my brothers and sisters, those on the job that I work with. What are my responses then? Do I treat them like I do my friends? If I would treat my friends the same way I treat them, would I have any friends? Well, we say that's family. You know, they understand. They know me. You know, a proud person focuses on the failures of others. Critical, fault-finding. I might put a couple of these. Proud person's is critical. A fault-finding spirit. Nothing is forgotten. You know, they may even hold the actions of others, parents or grandparents, against them. It sounds just like them. You know, it's there forever. You know, the broken person is compassionate. Broken person is compassionate, is overwhelmed by a sense of their own neediness, can forgive much because they know that they have been forgiven much. A proud person is self-protecting. Maybe we could put in their bitterness. Self-protecting of their rights, their time, their reputation. You know, they're wounded when others are promoted or recognized and they are overlooked. You know, look at what all I'm doing for the church or what all I have to offer it. Broken person is selfless, denying self, motivated to serve others without recognition, wants to promotes others, is humble about how much they have to learn. A proud person is quick to blame, defensive, has a hard time saying, I was wrong, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? Is more concerned about the consequences of their sin than that they sinned. Sorry they got caught. Don't think they have anything to repent of. A broken person accepts responsibility, is concerned about being real, is willing to be open and transparent with others and God, as God directs, truly grieves over the cause or the root of their sin, and feels a desperate need for God's mercy, and realizes they have a need of continual heart attitude of repentance. Now, the Christian life is a walk of repentance. A broken person senses a continual need to walk with Christ and to be filled with His Spirit. To walk in the light as He is in the light. Ephesians 4:21 says, if so be that, if you want to, I'm going to read a passage here. If those of you that want to can turn with me to Ephesians 4. I'll start at verse 21. Ephesians 4:21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye have put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place, neither give ground, or give territory to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now it's probably one of the first verses we've learned. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But he says right before that, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, malice, clamor, evil speaking, gossip, let all these things be put away from you. And then he goes on to say what to replace that with. You know, when we give ground, when we give place to the devil in these areas, in these things that were just mentioned, you know, there's chains that go along with that. We think of cuffs and chains. When that ground is given, it's going to have to be reclaimed. You know, anger is an emotion. We can't keep from getting angry. It happens, but we can learn to control it. We must learn to deal with it. He says, let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. You'll never go to bed angry. Deal with it. Work through it. You know, if we let it go, it turns to bitterness. And Paul talks about the root of bitterness. And he talks about it defiling many. The longer it's left go, the harder it is to deal with. You know, the deeper that root grows, when a little sprout starts up, it's not that hard to go out there and pull it out. But if you wait for a year, you might, depending on the kind of the tree it is, you might not get it up anymore by hand. It might take more. And the longer it goes, the harder it gets. But you know, it never grows so deep that it can't be uprooted by the blood of Christ. It can be. Luke 4:18, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, in warfare, typically the enemy comes in and tries to take ground. Not all at one time necessarily, but one piece at a time. They keep moving in. And when we give place to the devil, he wants to do the same thing. It might not be a big thing, but little, one small thing at a time. And he really doesn't care how much he has, as long as he has some. And you know, most of us have seen those kind of unique little spiral wishing wells. Those round deals that start at the top and they kind of funnel down. And you put your coin in there, and it starts spinning around there. It looks pretty neat. And the whole idea is to get your money, because if you watch that, you have to see another one. So it just adds up down there for them. But if you think about that, I had to think about that in the, you know, when we let anger, when we let those things go, it's spiraling around this big circle at the top. You know, it's good. But as it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going, it gets down further and further and further, and it's just pretty soon it's just spinning real fast. It's out of control, and it's gone. It just sucks us down. And I had to think of that in comparing when we give the devil ground, when we give way, you know, it sucks us down. And finally plummets down through the hole. You know, if we feed the flesh, it says, where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. James 3:16. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. So it's something that stays there. And I believe it turns to bitterness. Bitterness can manifest itself in many ways. You know, it may react in abusive speech or actions, or it may manifest itself in silence, in the silent treatment or refusing to communicate. You know, they're both destructive and deadly. They will lock up the person that chooses not to forgive. But praise God, there's power. There's wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. We can choose to forgive, to release the offender to God, and to let Him work in the person's life. It's no longer our problem. It's no longer my responsibility. I've given it to God. I have taken that. When Christ went to the cross, when He was willing to give His life for our sins, He bore that. He bore that. He had to take that upon Himself. And by releasing somebody, we're doing that. We, in a sense, we take it upon ourselves. But when we truly forgive, Matthew 18:35 says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every brother his their trespasses." So forgiveness has to be from the heart. It has to come all the way. It has not something that's just on the top, okay, I forgive. It's something that's gone. It's something that's not brought up again. It's something that doesn't come into focus when we're relating later in life. It's gone. It's back there. And it's not contingent upon, okay, well, they haven't come and told me they're sorry. They've never asked for forgiveness for what they've done. It's not contingent on that. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to forgive. They might not even realize they have what they've done. Might not understand it. And they may never come back and clear something. But that's not our responsibility. James goes on to say, he says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Pure, peaceable, gentle. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And appreciate what Brother Joe shared there about fruit. You know, the Christian life, it's going to bear fruit. It's going to have to, when these chains are released, when the negative thoughts, the selfishness, the bitterness, the pride, when it's gone, and we're freed from this prison, the heart's going to have to be filled with other things. It can't remain empty. It's going to have to be filled. And in turn, if it's filled, it's going to produce fruit. And when Jesus is Lord, we can, through Him and because of Him, we can have victory. You know, a model that I came across the other day, I like it, says, "I live for Christ, through Christ, because of Christ." I live for Christ, through Christ, because of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Those strongholds can be pulled down with His help. You know, we can be deceived by others. Your ground must be retaken before Satan's power can be broken in a person's life. You know, man is deceived when his mind and his emotions believe a lie. I feel it. It must be true. It's got to be true. Feeling can wipe us out. We must revoke the past. You know, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us. Washed. Reprove the works of darkness, Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We're on a new road. It's going to change, like the Apostle Paul. We completely turned around, gone the other way. Things have changed. There's a new focus in life. Now we're looking up here. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, be cleansed and washed by the blood. Everything needs to be destroyed that is associated with those things that are defeating you. You know, strongholds are often unrecognized by self. We have a hard time seeing them as strongholds. And they're seldom recognized as choices or understood as choices. These things we wrote down here, negative thought patterns, selfishness, bitterness, pride, willful disobedience, slander. You know, those are choices we make. We have that, that's consciously make that choice. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, praise the Lord. We can be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. In closing here, I'd like to read a few more verses. You know, chains can be broken by the blood of the Lamb. Freedom in Christ. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Romans 5:9. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know, is Jesus Lord of your life? You know, if he isn't, the opportunity is still there. We can come to the foot of the cross. We can lay everything down. And we are focused, instead of being tied, instead of being bound down here, we can be focused and traveling on that narrow road. And let our motto be, I live for Christ, through Christ, because of Christ, because of what he's done for me.